As we turn to Scripture this morning, we have already read through Psalm of Joyful Thanksgiving, Psalm 100, and sung songs of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a recurrent theme throughout the Bible. So what we're going to do today is read two more short passages that give us ways to express our thanksgiving other than words. The first is from Leviticus. You know, it's my favorite book, but we don't usually preach on it. It was given to the Israelites as they entered the Promised Land. They were to leave a portion of the harvest so those who needed it could harvest what they needed. This is a way they were to express their gratitude to God. The second is a short passage which comes from the book of James. It reminds followers of Christ to show faith in a way of life that shares with others, give their thanks through sharing with others. Lauren.
The first portion of our scripture reading this morning is taken from Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 and 10. This can be found on page 106 in the Old Testament portion of your Pew Bible. The second portion will be read from James chapter 2, verses 14 to 16, and can be found on page 230 in the New Testament. Reading from Leviticus chapter 19, beginning at verse 9. Hear what the Spirit says to the church. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field, or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare, or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. And continuing with James chapter 2, verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So today is Thanksgiving Sunday, a day we set aside to give thanks for all God is and all that God has done. As part of this service, we have expressed gratitude for enhanced worship and faith nurture enabled by the renovation. But our words only go so far, as we've heard. What we did is just a beginning. We will show our gratitude to God by how we use this space. As we use this space in mission and ministry in ways that honor God and serve our Lord, we will show our thanks to God. In all our lives, as we recognize how wonderful God is, and we recognize God's grace that is poured out for each of us, we will want to add actions to our words to show our gratitude to God in ways that honor God every day. We set aside Thanksgiving Sunday as a special time to give thanks at the end of the growing season. It's an obvious time to give thanks because God's provision is concrete. We can see it in the harvest. Too often we make time on this weekend, year in, year out, to give thanks, which is wonderful. We do it just as we did last year, but we have no continuity between. The intent is not that we reserve this day and this day only to focus on gratitude, but that today we are reminded that God continues to provide for us always, so our thanksgiving should be continuous in all of our lives, not just on Sundays, not just on Thanksgiving. As disciples, we are called to live as the apostle suggested, to give thanks always. So today we'll consider ways to intentionally grow in gratitude and live out our thanksgiving, or we can call it to partake in thanks living. Canadian writer, theologian, social activist, and a member of the Order of Canada, Mary Jo Leddy, wrote about current culture and our need to intentionally work towards a spiritual attitude of gratitude. to intentionally work towards this attitude. Ms. Letty observed that it's difficult to maintain an attitude of gratitude in our lives. I have adapted some of her ideas for what I say today. She holds that ingratitude is ingrained in our worldview in Western society, that our economic system only works as long as people forever want more. Daily, we are immersed in cultural messaging that tries to convince us that what we have and what we are is not enough. This was exemplified by wealthy businessman Rockefeller, who, when asked how much is enough, replied, "Just a little bit more." Ever before us is the carrot, the belief that just a little bit more will be enough no matter what we have. But it never is enough. I think you'll agree this is not a good recipe for expressing gratitude or urging us to express gratitude to God. We are taught to say thank you even though we're still wanting more or better or newer or shinier, thinking that when we have that little bit more, then we'll be truly grateful, then we'll truly show our gratitude to God. And this attitude affects how we live, what we strive for. In the midst of our cultural reality, Jesus continues to call us to a different way of living that moves us beyond our focus on what we have and more than the more we think we want. The Apostle Paul wrote, "I have learned to be content with whatever I have." That's the attitude we are to be cultivating. This stands in stark contrast with the messages we receive every day that we need just that little bit more, just that little bit better. As a disciple, Paul shows us an alternative and shows our need to step back and consider how our culture does affect our attitude and what discipleship for us might mean in this culture. Paul points to our need to grow beyond and be released from this culture of perpetual dissatisfaction. He suggests we should give thanks in all circumstances. Over the last couple of weeks, I've asked people to post on Facebook what they're grateful for, and I have a few of those posts today. One says, "We are thankful for St. Andrews, for our ministers, for our ruling elders who serve on session. I am thankful for my husband and our cats, family, friends. I am thankful for our side-by-side program and all who are connected with it. I am thankful for hope, faith, music, laughter, kindness, grace, and the freedom to be. Like most people, I'm thankful for family and friends. I'm also thankful for good medical care and renewed health. I'm thankful for the way I saw God working in selling my house and finding a new place to live." Indeed, I think we're grateful when we stop to reflect on it. So I thought rather than me saying all the words today, that I'd invite someone to speak this morning. So I've invited Lauren to share her reflections on faith and gratitude.
Something I'm grateful for is my freedom to believe in whatever I choose. In a time when people are ridiculed and judged for their beliefs, I feel incredibly blessed to worship freely without fear of judgment or harassment. This encourages me and helps me strengthen my faith because I have people in my life who also share the freedom to believe that help me grow in my relationship with God. I am incredibly thankful for the community around me here who is filled with people that are here for me for whatever I need. Knowing I have a faith family to fall back on when times are hard, or even when times are very good, encourages me daily to see how gratifying it can be. Loving Jesus seems easy for me, but because of my faith family, it's made loving him so much better.
So when we stop to reflect on it, we know we're grateful. But because we're immersed in the culture that breeds dissatisfaction, it's hard to be thankful. as we're encouraged to ever want more. We need to be intentional about being thankful and choosing gratitude over the cultural messages of more. And thank you, Lauren, for exemplifying that. For what are you grateful? Taking time to reflect and give thanks is a start, but we need to be intentional about how we live. We need to pay attention and wisely choose what stories we will choose to live by. As disciples, we have a story to live by that provides us with an alternative to the cultural script of ever more, ever needing more. Our story is this: we believe that God is with us, moving, providing us with an alternative script of abundance and freedom. This allows us to live differently than those around us, to share what we have, trusting that what we have is enough, that we will have enough as we share. As disciples, we're called to a way of life in which our desire for more for ourselves is replaced for a desire to share so all have enough, loving others as ourselves. This way of being or thanks living will take practice. It's going to take every day for the rest of our lives. Here are some ideas to help on our way. One idea: begin each day with gratitude rather than, oh my goodness, it's another day. Thank you, God, for another day, for life, for the mystery of God's presence and love. Thanking God for the promise to be with you throughout the day, to give strength and hope, to share what we have. Beginning a day with gratitude will help us to be aware of what we do have throughout the day. At the end of the day, look back on the day with gratitude. In difficult situations, when we do not feel grateful, perhaps we can be grateful that God has been with us even so. That God has given us people to share the burdens with. We can be thankful that God has given us grace to forgive and be forgiven. 3, intentionally choose trust. Choose God's way over the messages around you. Trust it. Trust that we will have what we need. What we are is enough. What we do in God is enough. Then watch throughout the day for temptations to trust in something or someone else. What might that be for you? Rather than letting that happen, letting that usurp God's place in your life, reaffirm your intent to put your trust in God above all else. In Jesus, we see an example of gratitude, not just words, but in all his living. Jesus' gratitude came from his trust in God, which allowed him to give of himself and what he had. So Jesus is one of our models. He shared 5 loaves and 2 fish, not just with himself, his disciples, those closest to him, but with a multitude. He freely gave his life for us. As we focus on gratitude and trust in God, our desire to live in response to God increases. Our desire to show our gratitude to God will lead us to act more as Jesus did, to share what we have, offer food, water, companionship, forgiveness. As we act on our gratitude, rather than diminishing us, the gratitude will grow in us. The last one I'm going to give to us is choose who we will imitate. Choose models of gratitude. Rather than going along with the society around us, we need to find models of giving thanks in our culture. Scroll through your memory and see whom you can identify as being grateful, as being free, as being a happy person and faithful person. One of these models for me came about probably 15 years ago now on a trip to a mountain village in Guatemala. The community provided wonderful meals for us, even though their crops had failed. They did not have enough to last the winter. They didn't have enough to last until the next growing season that might or might not be successful. But rather than acting out of what they did not have, they freely shared with us what they had. That is an exemplary model of giving, of thanksgiving, of acting out of what you have, not about what you think you need. Be intentional about who you will imitate and begin steps to imitate each day. There are many ways to grow in gratitude, many more than I've just mentioned. You can probably name several more. But you see, they remain ideas until you intentionally put them into practice every day, so that your gratitude does not remain an idea, but will become thanks living. In your bulletin, you should have a bookmark. Did the choir get bookmarks? Okay. On the back, I don't know, if it's got a really nice front. It says gratitude on it. Everybody got one of those? On the back, you have the opportunity to write something that you will intentionally do in the coming days to live out your gratitude. One step you will take. There should be pencils, many in the pews. Jared and I put them out this morning. So you've got about 2 minutes to write down something you're going to intentionally do. If you didn't have an opportunity to get a bookmark, you can ask for one on the way out. And the choir had lots of time to think, but little time to write. So we'll forgive you if you continue writing as I continue. You have a bookmark now. You can use it as a bookmark. You can put it on your fridge as a reminder. It is your commitment to take one more step towards thanksgiving, showing your gratitude to God every day of your life. May our gratitude issue into action so we become models of thanksgiving, giving God glory, action by action, word by word, always. Amen.